Random House Audio presents The Affair by Lee Child, read for you by Dick Hill. Dedicated to the memory of David Thompson, 1971 to 2010, a fine bookseller and a good friend. Chapter 1. The Pentagon is the world's largest office building. 6.5 million square feet, 30,000 people, more than 17 miles of corridors, but it was built with just 3 street doors, each one of them opening into a guarded pedestrian lobby. I chose the southeast option, the main concourse entrance, the one nearest the metro and the bus station, because it was the busiest and the most popular with civilian workers, and I wanted plenty of civilian workers around, preferably a whole long, unending stream of them, for insurance purposes, mostly against getting shot on sight. Arrests go bad all the time, sometimes accidentally, sometimes on purpose. So I wanted witnesses. I wanted independent eyeballs on me, at least at the beginning. I remember the date, of course. It was Tuesday, the 11th of March, 1997. And it was the last day I walked into that place as a legal employee of the people who built it, a long time ago. The 11th of March, 1997, was also, by chance, exactly 4.5 years before the world changed, on that other future Tuesday. And so, like a lot of things in the old days, the security at the main concourse entrance was serious, without being hysterical. Not that I invited hysteria, not from a distance. I was wearing my Class A uniform, all of it clean, pressed, polished, and spit-shined, all of it covered with 13 years' worth of medal ribbons, badges, insignia, and citations. I was 36 years old, standing tall and walking ramrod straight, a totally squared-away U.S. Army military police major in every respect, except that my hair was too long, and I hadn't shaved for 5 days. Back then, Pentagon security was run by the Defense Protective Service, and from 40 yards I saw 10 of their guys in the lobby, which I thought was far too many, which made me wonder whether they were all theirs or whether some of them were actually ours, working undercover, waiting for me. Most of our skilled work is done by warrant officers, and they do a lot of it by pretending to be someone else. They impersonate colonels and generals and enlisted men and anyone else they need to, and they're good at it. All in a day's work for them to throw on DPS uniforms and wait for their target. From 30 yards, I didn't recognize any of them, but then the Army is a very big institution, and they would have chosen men I had never met before. I walked on, part of a broad wash of people heading across the concourse to the doors. Some men and women in uniform, either Class A's like my own or the old woodland pattern BDUs we had back then. And some men and women obviously military, but out of uniform, in suits or work clothes. And some obvious civilians, some of each category carrying bags or briefcases or packages, all of each category slowing and sidestepping and shuffling as the broad wash of people narrowed to a tight arrowhead, and then narrowed further still to lonely single file or collegial 2x2 as folks got ready to stream inside. I lined up with them, on my own, single file, behind a woman with pale, unworn hands and ahead of a guy in a suit that had gone shiny at the elbows. Civilians. Both of them, desk workers, probably analysts of some kind, which was exactly what I wanted. Independent eyeballs. It was close to noon. There was sun in the sky, and the March air had a little warmth in it. Spring in Virginia. Across the river, the cherry trees were about to wake up. The famous blossom was about to break out. All over the innocent nation, airline tickets and SLR cameras lay on whole tables, ready for sightseeing trips to the capital. I waited in line. Way ahead of me, the DPS guys were doing what security guys do. Four of them were occupied with specific tasks. Two, manning an inquiry counter, and two, checking official badge holders and then waving them through an open turnstile. Two were standing directly behind the glass inside the doors, looking out, heads high, eyes front, scanning the approaching crowd. Four were hanging back in the shadows behind the turnstiles, just clumped together, shooting the shit. All ten were armed. It was the four behind the turnstiles that worried me. No question that back in 1997, the Department of Defense was seriously puffed up and overmanned in relation to the threats we faced then. But even so, it was unusual to see four on-duty guys with absolutely nothing to do. Most commands at least made their surplus personnel look busy, but these four had no obvious role. I stretched up tall and peered ahead and tried to get a look at their shoes. You can learn a lot from shoes. Undercover disguises often don't get that far, especially in a uniformed environment. The DPS was basically a beat cop role, so to the extent that a choice was available, DPS guys would go for cop shoes. Big, comfortable things appropriate for walking and standing all day. Undercover MP warrant officers might use their own shoes, which would be subtly different. But I couldn't see their shoes. It was too dark inside and too far away. The line shuffled along at a decent pre-9/11 clip. No sullen impatience, no frustration, no fear, just old-style routine. The woman in front of me was wearing perfume. I could smell it coming off the nape of her neck. I liked it. The two guys behind the glass noticed me about 10 yards out. Their gaze moved off the woman and onto me. It rested on me a beat longer than it needed to, and then it moved on to the guy behind. Then it came back. Both men looked me over quite openly, up and down, side to side, 4 or 5 seconds, and then I shuffled forward and their attention moved behind me again. They didn't say anything to each other, didn't say anything to anyone else either. No warnings, no alerts. Two possible interpretations. One, best case, I was just a guy they hadn't seen before. Or maybe I stood out because I was bigger and taller than anyone within 100 yards. Or because I was wearing a major's gold oak leaves and ribbons for some heavy-duty medals, including a silver star, like a real poster boy. But because of the hair and the beard, I also looked like a real caveman, which visual dissonance might have been enough reason for the long second glance, just purely out of interest. Sentry duty can be boring, and unusual sights are always welcome. Or two, worst case, they were merely confirming to themselves that some expected event had indeed happened, and that all was going according to plan. Like they had prepared and studied photographs and were saying to themselves, okay, he's here, right on time. So now we just wait 2 more minutes until he steps inside and then we take him down. Because I was expected, and I was right on time. I had a 12 o'clock appointment and matters to discuss with a particular colonel in a third-floor office in the C-ring, and I was certain I would never get there. To walk head-on into a hard arrest was a pretty blunt tactic. But sometimes, if you want to know for sure whether the stove is hot, the only way to find out is to touch it. The guy ahead of the woman ahead of me stepped inside the doors and held up a badge that was attached to his neck by a lanyard. He was waved onward. The woman in front of me moved and then stopped short, because right at that moment the two DPS watchers chose to come out from behind the glass. The woman paused in place and let them squeeze out in front of her, against the pressing flow. Then she resumed her progress and stepped inside, and the two guys stopped and stood exactly where she had been, 3 feet in front of me, but facing in the opposite direction, toward me, not away from me. They were blocking the door. They were looking right at me. I was pretty sure they were genuine DPS personnel. They were wearing cop shoes, and their uniforms had eased and stretched and molded themselves to their individual physiques over a long period of time. These were not disguises, snatched from a locker and put on for the first time that morning. I looked beyond the two guys, inside, at their four partners who were doing nothing, and I tried to judge the fit of their clothes, by way of comparison. It was hard to tell. In front of me, the guy on my right said, "Sir, may we help you?" I asked, "With what?" "Where are you headed today?" "Do I need to tell you that?" "No, sir, absolutely not," the guy said. "But we could speed you along a little, if you like." Probably via an inconspicuous door into a small locked room, I thought. I figured they had civilian witnesses on their mind, too, the same way I did. I said, "I'm happy to wait my turn. I'm almost there, anyway." The two guys said nothing in reply to that. Stalemate. Amateur hour. To try to start the arrest outside was dumb. I could push and shove and turn and run and be lost in the crowd in the blink of an eye. And they wouldn't shoot. Not outside. There were too many people on the concourse, too much collateral damage. This was 1997, remember, March 11th, 4.5 years before the new rules. Much better to wait until I was inside the lobby. The two stooges could close the doors behind me and form up shoulder to shoulder in front of them while I was getting the bad news at the desk. At that point, theoretically, I could turn back and fight my way past them again, but it would take me a second or two, and in that second or two, the four guys with nothing to do could shoot me in the back about 1,000 times. And if I charged forward, they could shoot me in the front. And where would I go, anyway? To escape into the Pentagon was no kind of a good idea. The world's largest office building, 30,000 people, 5 floors, 2 basements, 17 miles of corridors. There are 10 radial hallways between the rings, and they say a person can make it between any 2 random points inside a maximum 7 minutes, which was presumably calculated with reference to the Army's official quick march pace of 4 miles an hour, which meant if I was running hard, I could be anywhere within about 3 minutes. But where? I could find a broom closet and steal bag lunches and hold out a day or two, but that would be all. Or I could take hostages and try to argue my case, but I had never seen that kind of thing succeed. So I waited. The DPS guy in front of me on my right said, "Sir, you be sure and have a nice day now." And then he moved past me, and his partner moved past me on my other side, both of them just strolling slow. 2 guys happy to be out in the air, patrolling, varying their viewpoint. Maybe not so dumb after all. They were doing their jobs and following their plan. They had tried to decoy me into a small locked room, but they had failed. No harm, no foul. So now they were turning the page straight to Plan B. They would wait until I was inside and the doors were closed, and then they would jump into crowd control mode, dispersing the incoming people, keeping them safe in case shots had to be fired inside. I assumed the lobby glass was supposed to be bulletproof, but the smart money never bets on the DOD having gotten exactly what it paid for. The door was right in front of me. It was open. I took a breath and stepped into the lobby. Sometimes, if you want to know for sure whether the stove is hot, the only way to find out is to touch it.